The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
This is an exclusive presentation of Podcast One Sports.
What up? This is Robert Ory.
Ory, three-point, buries it!
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Ory for three. Oh, unbelievable. This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Ory from downtown.
Now that's making a statement.
Oh, my. This is the Big Shot Bob podcast. Things are a little different this week. Throw everybody for a bit of a loop.
Yeah.
First words he says to me when he gets in the car, I thought you were taller. I'm like, now I'm a short little man. What are you talking about? Robert Ory in studio with us in Atlanta.
In ATL.
My goodness.
No, the funny thing, he's like up on the steering wheel like this. I'm like, dude, you short, man. Like, I was expecting you to be by 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah, he's he overestimated me by a lot.
That's me.
Because he's always standing up, so you figure, okay, he's standing up because he's tall.
Oh, not at all. I stand up to make up for the fact that I'm not tall. I have to present myself as such. It is the Big Shot Bob podcast, and my goodness, you're in town for the playoffs.
Yes, NBA TV. You know, I was having fun in the studio to be in the ATL. I haven't been here in, I think, 3 to 4 years, so it's exciting to be here, man. Everything has changed. But the one thing I told myself I would not do is eat that Southern food.
Oh, come on now. How are you going to do that and not eat Southern food?
I was eating very healthy, man, because for Easter, I hope everybody had a great Easter.
Oh, yeah.
I was, like, eating so much, man, that I was in the food coma. I did the Homer Simpson. I did the Al Bundy, whatever you want to say. I did it on the couch
and
just laid there.
Man. You know, you got to eat good when you're in the South.
I did give him some grits, though.
Come on, how do you not? Southern boys.
Wait. What you put in the grits?
Salt and butter.
Okay.
I'm not one of those guys that put sugar in the grits.
I just want to make sure that you wasn't a psychopath.
No, salt and butter.
What makes you a psychopath? Sugar?
Sugar.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
You from up north, you a psychopath?
No, I'm not a psychopath. I'm a hash browns guy. Okay. I'm not a grits guy. Okay. Just because I was raised in Jersey.
Yeah,
we don't have grits in New Jersey.
But when I get my grits, I do mix my eggs in the grits.
I'm not mad at that.
Okay.
That's fine.
I'm not mad at that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how the hell we got a grit.
Southern food.
Yeah, we lost it.
What's a grit?
Came off the, what are y'all talking about when you said grit?
What's a grit?
So a couple games last night. We talked briefly about it in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Thought the Hawks were going to come back and get that thing close, man. They got within three, and then the Jimmy Butler show. And you said it best. You're like, man, if that was Jimmy all the time,
yeah,
you'd have big problems. But it's Jimmy now and then.
You know, Jimmy is one of those type of players. Everybody says it's about him. He's an ultimate team player. He wants you to play hard. But he's not that guy that says, okay, I'm going to be Jimmy Buckets tonight. You know, you got that nickname Jimmy Buckets for a reason. So when you need him, he's like, okay, I'll go out and get bucks. If you do that every night, it'll make it that much easier for your teammates, and you become one of those guys that's fear. You know, you think about it. There's a lot of guys in this league that you fear, and Jimmy Buck is on the edge of being feared if he would go out and score every night like he should.
Yeah, he's one of those guys where because he has Duncan Robinson, because he has Tyler Hero, mm-hmm. because Kyle Lowry is shooting a lot better than what a lot of folks thought.
When he's not on the floor.
Yeah. Right. look, man, let's sidebar. Every time I watch this fool, he on the floor. And I'm not talking about being on the floor playing basketball. He's literally full body on the floor. And he's at the feet of somebody. He's flinging himself. Bro, get up.
Man, that's the situation last night where he ran What's the guy? I can't think of his name.
DeAndre Hunter?
Yeah, we ran him down and pushed him and tried to act like it was him. I'm like, come on, man, stop it.
What are you doing?
It gets ridiculous after a while. Just play basketball, man. Don't try to get some cheap stuff. You know, if you're a true champion, just go out there and play hard. Take what you want. Don't try to get the cheap stuff.
Yeah. But Jimmy is like that because, you know, when you have those shooters around you, you're then able to operate within a level of space. Now, I think, you know, the Hawks did a really good job last night of – you know, dealing with Hero and dealing with Duncan comparison in game one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But Jimmy knew that at that point in time, it was Jimmy time. That once I got – I know that sounds very, very funny, very, very weird. But y'all know what I mean. Jimmy Buckets was there, and he did
Jimmy
what he
time.
Needed to do.
Jimmy time.
And he's not a guy that's going to do that because he's not the cold-blooded killer like KD.
Yeah.
He's not the cold-blooded killer like a Jason Tatum or even LeBron at times. He's a guy, I'm going to get everybody else involved, but when it's my time – get out of my way.
Yeah, he's a great teammate. That's what you have to say, because you have teammates that are as talented as he is, and they won't pass like he does. He doesn't get everybody involved because he knows the best thing for his team is to get guys shot, because down the line you need to have those guys ready. If you're not getting shots during a game, you might not be ready down the line when I might need you at the end of a game.
Yeah.
Was that what you look for on the floor, when, like, with the guys you played with? Get me shots, get me warmed up so that when you need that big moment, you have it?
You know, for me, I was just always taking advantage of the opportunity, because there are plenty of times where you come down like, I'm open. Guy takes a shot. I'm open. Then you come down, you force a couple, and you look at the guy, pass me the effing ball, right? So you do those type of things. But I remember one time I was with the Lakers, we were playing in Phoenix. And the previous game, I got like one shot. The next game, I told Shaq, get out the way. I went to the block. I scored like the first 11 points. And then I'm like, I'm tired, man. It takes too much to freaking go. Like, I used to do that when I was in college. I was a post-up guy. Right. You're going every shot. And I was like, man, when you're not used to doing that, it takes a lot out of you. So I looked at Shaq. And I was like, dude, I my hat's off to you, because you're doing this each and every night with 20 guys on your back.
Yeah.
So you have to be in great shape to do that. But. Yeah. I got my 11 points, and I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm going to go sit down now.
I'm all right. Thanks, though.
I just want to let y'all know, if I need to score, I can score. I don't think I can't score.
Yeah. What games were you guys talking about last night?
We had the Memphis, Memphis and Minnesota game, which was cool.
Them boys did their thing.
Yeah, of course, Atlanta game. And then the last game.
The Pelicans.
Yeah, the Pelicans. You watch the Pelicans. You know, I love – let's talk about Tiny Dog, B.I., Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
He is going to be a beast, man. I thought that when he was with the Lakers, but now he's there in New Orleans. He's starting to shine.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at him last night. I'm like, damn, this dude's like KD. He long like KD. He got the mid-range like KD. He can get to the hole like KD.
Yep.
You know – they're coming out parties for certain guys. I think if he's able to keep doing this, even no matter if they win or lose, people are going to take recognition of this guy as like, damn, he can play. Yeah. So they're going to get him some more help. Just think about when Zion comes back. If he comes back healthy, Tiny Dog going to be he's going to be a beast down there, boy.
If he comes back healthy. Look, B.I., you know, you hear a lot of conversations, especially after that game, you know, all these Laker fans now, oh, my God, what could have been? And I'm like, dog, chill out. Did the Lakers not win a title? Like, it worked because you got what you wanted and you got what you accomplished out of it. Now, it didn't look great right now, but all this, oh, well, this is – the Pelicans ain't winning the title. I love B.I.'s improvement, and he is a dog and an up-and-coming dog. But you got to look at things within a certain perspective. The Lakers won a title getting Anthony Davis. Yes, he's been a China doll ever since, because every time he hit the floor, he's broken. But you got to look at it in this perspective. I love what the Pelicans are doing. I don't know when Zion is coming back, you know, if he ain't ate himself out of house and home. But they're balling. To get that split like they did last night, that's a bunch of confidence going back down to the Bayou.
Yeah. C.J. McCollum has been that calm to that storm. Yeah. He's brought those guys together, and they're playing good. And everybody's going to say, oh, they lost that. They won that game, or Phoenix lost that game. Which one? No, I think, you know, even though Booker got hurt, I still think, you know, they was going to be in trouble regardless, because they were right there taking them wire to wire before he went out. And I think, you know, sometimes when you beat a team really bad and you come in, you know, you get that fat dog, that fat cat syndrome,
right?
And you sit back and not realize they got some dogs over there, B.I. and McCullough. And, you know,
sneak up on you, man.
You better play them tough from jump.
And shout out to Willie Green.
Yeah.
You know, getting those guys prepared, motivating those guys. That's a young squad.
Yeah.
You know, he's a young coach. And the way that he's able to relate to those guys and bring that out of them to get them to understand the moment. Yes, you're a huge underdog. Yeah. And you're playing with house money because most people don't expect for you to win.
And so, you're doing it without your star. You're doing it without your superstar.
Yes.
Yeah.
And B.I. is emerging as – that's B.I.'s team. I love Zion. Right. But B.I. is that guy right now, and he's improving while Zion is just watching from the sidelines.
You know, it's weird because –
he's at the craft services table. He's doing fine. He's doing okay.
But, you know, you look at this team and you say, okay, do I bring Zion or do I trade Zion for something? Because will Zion take away from what B.I. does? Because, you know, Zion is a kind of a guy that kind of roams in the middle. Even though he's trying to improve his three-point shot, B.I. kind of needs a stretch four or stretch five so he can still penetrate. Even though I'm not saying he's penetrating all the time, but will that take away from it? Because now you got McCullough who's going to take some shots. You got Zion to take some shots. Then he's going to take shots. Will it be a big three? Will he get his same, you know, shots to be able to, he can, you know, flourish as a player? That's the question. And it's going to be a tough decision for Green when he comes back what to do. But he ain't got to worry about that this season. But next season, he's going to have to come up with a good game plan.
That's a good problem to have, though.
Yeah,
it is. The funniest memes are the ones where it's like Zion in pregame warmups and people are dunking behind their back and windmilling and stuff. And then it's like, I'm going to sit out. I'm not going to play tonight.
I don't want, but think about it like this. And this is early. This is comparing a guy that's early in his career to a guy that we know is a superstar and he's later in his career. It's feeling real Kawhi-ish from the standpoint of, hey, he's been out. You know, Kawhi felt like he ain't played a full season in forever.
I can't remember.
And we know he's good, but when he's out, he's out. You got other people in his ear talking. You know, he's going to do what's best for him. Are we ever going to see him in this jersey again? Yeah. Whenever he plays, is he going to be in another city?
He might go to New York.
You know, what's the frustration now? It's feeling real Kawhi-ish, and that experiment has not worked with that other team down the hall in L.A. because the Lakers had some down years, and you're supposed to bring that team together to win a title, and it has not happened.
Yeah. You know, but the thing is, you know, Kawhi, tore his ACL, and he's sitting there trying to figure out how to come back. So I can't even get mad at Kawhi for not coming back because you look at what Denver's doing now. You know, Jokic is struggling without Murray, and Murray – he tore his AC, a year ago? And normal guys are back by now.
Yeah.
And I know he tore it on that floor. And I'm trying to figure out, does he have the yips? You know, where he has a mental block where he's scared to get on that floor.
Because he had to say something.
Yeah.
He had to hit the media and say, if you don't think I don't want to be out there, you're crazy.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's a great question.
Yeah, because I'm like they saying you ready to come back. And are you just going to say, okay, we don't have a chance to win it this year? I'm going to come back next year. I don't understand the thought process because, for me, if you're able to come out and play and you 100, I'm not saying 80 or 90% with an ACL, I'm talking about 100, at least get out there and, you know, try to get, you know, see what can be next year. So as a coach and staff and as management, I say, okay, Jamal Murray's back. What do we need to add to him? Because you can't really, you know, assess it. You can only assume what you can add to that when he comes back. But at least if he's out there and showing you what he can and cannot do, you can bring some. Because look at Jordan Poole. You know, he's able to come into his own because, you know, Klay was out. You know, Steph was out.
Talk about
while they were out.
He was 26 the other night?
Yeah.
And you brought up Joker. He was hot.
Yeah.
He was hot
Joker
the other
funny.
Night, man. He got bounced. Draymond waving him off the court.
Joker wanted to be bounced. You know, anytime you're frustrated and you're looking at the score, like, I'm going to take a shower.
May I get an early dinner reservation?
Before I get hurt, I'm just going, before I do something stupid, cost myself $50K or something like that.
And also, when you look at Denver, another guy that a lot of people have kind of forgot about but took a major step is Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah.
Like Michael Porter Jr. at 6'10", what he was able to do, you know, he had back issues coming out of Missouri and didn't play a lot of the time when that one year when he was at Missouri. But when he got on the court and he was healthy, you knew his skill set and you knew what he could do.
Yeah.
And now he's still being plagued with back issues. And you just wonder, okay, what's he going to look like moving forward?
Yeah. I would say Michael Porter to me has always been a cherry. What I mean by that is, you know, he's one of those guys that he ain't going to be there for 82 games. Right. So when you have him, that's your cherry on top.
Yeah.
And because when a guy has back issues like that and he's that young, you know that's going to linger for the rest of his career. And so I was saying he's just going to be a cherry when he's healthy or we get some good out of him. But we're not expecting to get 82 out of him. We're expecting to get maybe, you know, 60, 62 out of him. And I think if he can figure it out and get healthy, which I don't think he will be because he's still lingered by that back, he's just a cherry to me. Now, and I don't mean that as a bad thing.
No, I get what you're saying. Yeah,
I mean, a cherry is like a good thing. He's just you know, added to the team.
You're not counting on him for the core, but when you get him, he's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got
it's almost like you want to say, you know, you're going to sit out until January, and then we're going to use you because that's where you'll be fresh.
Because he's gotten
that's when you need him.
Yeah,
he's gotten an extension.
Huh?
I think Michael Porter Jr. has gotten an extension, I believe,
or
they've been talking about it. But I thought I saw at one point in time he had signed an extension.
He may have. Yeah, it's hard to keep track of all that crap half the time, anyway. But yeah, what about Kyrie with the double birds behind the back? And then Tatum rips his heart out a little bit.
Oh my goodness! You know,
kind of poetic justice, maybe.
Yeah, people to me when you do that, the fans have won.
100%.
Because now the fans say, oh, I got you listening to me. Now I'm going to go from calling you A to A, B, and C. Oh, now you're reacting even more. Now I'm going to add the rest of the alphabet in there that I'm going to call you. And it's a head game. You got to understand the best thing is to just kick their butts. And then, like, the best thing to do is just point at the scoreboard. Like, you know, even though they lost, but if you get a win, just point at the scoreboard and then all the fans can do is, oh, yeah, you got us tonight. Yeah. But Kyrie is I'm starting to learn that he is a different type of dude. He is a special kind of guy.
He is a
– Well said. Very politically correct.
On and off the floor. Yeah.
Especially talented, especially in – you know, he's just
– He's eccentric.
Yeah.
Let's say eccentric is a good word.
But he's very intelligent.
Yeah.
Oh,
very.
Extremely.
Oh, my goodness.
Very intelligent.
But for someone who is super intelligent, will also float – some of the strangest shit I've ever heard in my life come out of his mouth.
Yeah.
You know,
I think
the whole
sometimes
flat Earth
people,
theory and stuff, and you're like, dude, stop.
Sometimes
you're a smart
people are
man.
Too smart for their own damn good. I think he's one of those guys.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, look, I know. You know, KD did a little, I guess, a press conference at practice the other day. You know, he went all counselor, therapeutic, and really doing. It was a really good interview, just talking about how, look, you know. The fans, you know, felt as though, you know, they were, you know, Kyrie was part of the family. And, you know, when he left and wanted to be traded, you know, it was kind of like a piece of them went with him. And it really all comes from a place of hate. And, you know, they really love him, but they show the love through hate. And
Dr. Durant.
Right,
Jesus.
Right. He really, you got to watch. He really went. I was like, dang, I ain't never heard KD talk like
that. Hey, but my whole point is the Celtics fans should be like, who cares? He was there, what, 2-3 years?
Yeah.
He didn't win nothing there.
But it really didn't make much of an impact. Yeah.
But you remember, they were one game away from beating the Cavs to go to the finals. And a lot of people feel as though, dang, if we would – now, they did all that without Kyrie, but they were like, dang, if we would have had Kyrie, we would have been the team in the finals and not the Cavs.
You know, I don't – when people say that, I don't think so because Kyrie was – he would have been there. The two other – Tatum and Brown would have made him flourish because – Kyrie had been dominating the ball like he does, and one of those guys would have suffered. So this way you can say, okay, we can do this without Kyrie.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, this is what we can do. We got these two young rising stars. Let them ball out and add to them. Because Kyrie, you know, even though he's been playing off the ball, at that time I don't think he was one of those type of guys when you got two guys that you got to defer to that he could do it. One guy, I could see that. But two, no, not so much.
But, you know, you can't tell that to the, you know, the – subjective fame. It's like, oh no, that's another talented guy, you know, that we could have had on the
Run
floor.
Ball.
It's like, well, you do have to understand, okay, they got to this point, and you have to understand, as great as of a talent as Kyrie is, what he could have possibly been taking away from those two
exactly.
to kind of bring their game down.
Well, but that's what most people don't ever consider, is how do the pieces all fit together? You just want all the pieces.
Yeah.
I just want all of this on the table. Yeah, but it doesn't work that way. The Lakers learned that this year.
Don't do that.
I just want everything on the table, and we're going to try and make it work.
I was hoping you would avoid that comparison, but there was no way around it because I was thinking about it.
You know, I tell everybody all the time, it's like everybody knows what a pie is. You got 65%, 35%, and all of a sudden you throw 85% in. That pie doesn't fit, man. You got to have the perfect pieces to fit in there.
Yeah.
And there's so many teams like, oh, we just throw a bunch of superstars together. And the Lakers should know from, you know, Eddie Jones, Nick Van Exel, Kobe Bryant, Shaq that too many cooks in the kitchen
Gary
does not
Payne,
work.
Karl Malone. Yeah, heck, even when they had went to get Steve Nash, Dwight, you remember it was supposed to be Steve Nash and Dwight Howard. Alley-oop. Central. Yeah. Steve Nash barely played.
I don't even know why they did that.
I don't think they know why they did that either.
Do y'all realize Steve Nash is old? He's hurt. He can't, you know, he can't move anymore.
He ain't defeated Steve Nash.
I'm like, stop bringing in. He's like, stop. You know, a lot of times, you know, I think a lot of people was expecting Steve Nash from that situation happened to be like what's happening in Phoenix with Chris Paul. You know, Chris Paul is a special type of dude. Yeah. I know, even though he get hurt once and twice a year, but he still is a guy that's going to come out and compete. Steve Nash was like, okay, I get my teeth knocked out sometime, but I can't come back from this back.
And I think Chris's situation in Phoenix is a lot different than anything Steve Nash ever dealt with, because Chris has been like the veteran presence for those young guys.
Yeah.
And I feel like they've all thrived from his experience,
big
from
time.
What he's seen, all that stuff. So he's made those guys better. Steve was just a piece on top of another piece on top of another piece trying to fit into a puzzle that didn't really kind of come together.
You know, and to go back to that Steve Nash, Dwight Howard, the biggest problem wasn't the players there. It was the guy coaching them.
Mike D'Antoni. Which is why Steve Nash ended up there in the first place.
You know, the thing about Mike D'Antoni, I laugh when he was like, he had all those guys, he doesn't fit my system. Dude, well, change your freaking system. Yeah. You have players that's not in your system. So you, as a good coach, figure out what the players you have. I have a system. First of all, how many times has that system won a championship?
Yeah.
Zero. So change your system and adapt to the players that you have. And I hate when coaches say, oh, well, he doesn't fit my system. I'm like, why doesn't he? It's not like he's a bum-ass player. He's a good player. So do something for him. Yeah. Figure it out.
Yeah,
so,
coaches got to bring your ego down as a coach, especially when you're able to get a top talent and a generational type player. Figure it out, because guess what? Yeah. If you don't, I guarantee you, you'll be out the door before they win.
Yeah, when you say figure it out, a lot of them can't figure it out because they're stuck. They got those blinders on.
Well, like you said, they get stuck in their system.
Yeah.
You can't see beyond the walls of your system sometimes, and it's like, dude, it ain't working.
I guess they all look the field and says, you've ran the triangle forever. And that system works. I'm saying, yeah, it works, because if you really break the triangle down, it's just movement of the basketball. You move, you cut, you get in positions on the floor and areas on the floor. It's not like, okay, I'm going to run this system where I got a four who can shoot threes like a Sean Marion. You're like, I'm a four that doesn't shoot threes, coach, so you need to get me on the post. No, that doesn't work for me. You know, and it's the weirdest thing, like take his big ass on the post and let him go to work.
Yeah.
That's what he's been doing his whole career. That's why he's a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
So. Utilize the talent you got.
Mm-hmm.
Try and make everything fit weird. Did you see the Jerry West story?
Yes.
This morning?
I saw it early this morning.
I saw it yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Did you? Yeah. Okay, I didn't see it until this morning, but and I'm fresh off of watching the latest episode, too, of Winning Time. But,
I haven't watched it. Don't talk about it.
It's good. Larry Bird. You get Larry Bird in this episode.
Oh, you do?
So you get the Magic Larry Bird 1979 matchup. Jerry's pissed. Jerry not happy about the way he's depicted in the show. He is, I guess his attorneys have asked for a public apology from HBO and from Adam McKay, who's the show creator and runner, about the way he's portrayed as, I think it was, a raging workaholic or a rageaholic or some shit like that. So Jerry feels he's being unfairly painted in this new show. And again, I don't know. I've never met Jerry. I've never even spoken to Jerry.
I feel like he's being painted in a different light. You know, getting to know Jerry, and you know, Jerry gave me my first contract with the Lakers, so I love Jerry, and I'm not saying that because he gave me, he's a wonderful guy. You sit down and talk to him, he just loves everybody he comes across. But I think Jerry got to realize it's comedy. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just comedy, and to let it go. But I know people have their pride, and he looks at this thing like, I'm not a raging lunatic. You know, and then, you know, it looks like he, like when it's like in one episode, looks like his wife just took it. Said, "Oh, you gonna get me pregnant tonight?"
Oh yeah.
So I think a lot of things like that is just, you know, can hurt you in the heart in so many different ways. But I think if someone portrayed me like that, I would think it's funny, because I know that's not me. I know who I am. My friends know who I am. My teammates know, and that's not me. So, but apparently, none of those guys, you know, have watched the show. And I'm not even gonna lie, during Kareem's birthday, I'm sitting on the stage, I'm looking around like, I want to ask all you guys one by one. Are y'all watching it?
Watching it. You know they have to be.
And my thing is, look, because, you know, Magic doesn't like the way he's been portrayed in this show either. But, you know, he's talking about starting his own thing. I wonder how Jerry would look in his thing that he's trying to start.
But it lets you know how the Lakers took over that era, because the Lakers are actually doing a documentary. Imagine this cat. What is this? Magic Time? What's it called? It's on Apple
like
TV.
Yeah.
And then you got this. And so you got all these things coming out about the Lakers. So I think the three of us need to come out with something, too. We need to beat them to the punch and talk about the dynasty with Shaq and Kobe and that little era. If we beat them to the punch, we can make some money.
But see, here's the thing. And this is, you may, I don't know if you may have thought about this, and you may not have, but I'm going to go ahead and just bring it to the forefront.
Okay.
You're the one with the actual hands-on expertise when it came to that, to where you've met all – I mean, we know Shaq, but we didn't play with Shaq, and we didn't have the honor and privilege of meeting Kobe. You had the honor and privilege of being, you know, in battle with those guys, so people are going to be looking to you for that. Okay, nothing about what we're talking about.
Yeah. Hey, but no, we going to collaborate.
I'll produce.
We had to collab and come up with some good stuff.
I'll
though,
take
man.
Miami as a producer. Thank you. That's all
we got to, you know, we got to just write. So we ain't going to say it's, you know, it's real stuff. We going to do exactly like what it's called, Winning Time.
Winning Time.
Is doing and say, okay, characters portrayed in this.
All right.
Yeah.
Is drama.
Okay.
It's a drama.
I'm down for it.
I guess why Jerry is pissed is because people have this perception of him now that he was this lunatic. And now, like, they've gone as far as, when I read the article this morning, they've gone as far as getting quotes from all these people they used to work with. And Kareem is quoted. These women from the front office. He never threw a basketball trophy through a window. And I'm like,
Kareem's pissed
so
too.
So much.
It.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not Kareem's not happy either. Because Kareem's like, you boiled everybody down to one character trait. And I'm like, dude, it's a show.
Yeah.
It's not a documentary. It's a comedy show.
I know Lakers don't like it. All those players don't like it. But I think it's funny. You know, it's for pure entertainment. You know, it's almost like it's like a Dave Chappelle skit.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's just comedy.
Treat
but
it
those
as
are,
such.
Those are older guys, and they don't, you know, what they find funny is not what everybody else finds funny. And what we may find funny, and, you know, at this point in time, they don't necessarily find funny. They're well-decorated guys, well-respected guys. So when their name or anything that's associated with them is not in line with who they are, I'm not surprised that they feel some type of way about it.
So I wonder if I'm going to be saying this, if they run it long enough where it runs into my era and they portray me as something, I'm like, hold on, that ain't me.
On the laugh.
But that shit funny, though.
On the laugh.
Robert was kicking over chairs on the sideline and throwing punches.
That's me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Robert Ory's calm demeanor. What are they doing?
Because if you sit up here and say that at you, I'm like, wait a minute. You done told us stories about this is actually you. They portrayed you the right way.
We'll see. I don't know. We'll see. But I kind of get where he's coming from. Yeah. Your ego gets kind of hurt, like you said, B. You get an ego.
A decorated guy.
He should be like, do you know who I am? I'm the freaking logo.
I'm the logo,
you can't portray
man.
Me as such.
But like Shaq's that way too, though. And we know that because we all know that from working with him for years. Anytime somebody takes a personal dig at him, he goes right back at you. He gets right in someone's face. And it's like, dude, who gives a shit what this guy thinks?
But it's different with him. That's in a roasting type of way. Like Shaq is in a fun, loving, well, maybe not loving, but fun roasting type of way. You see it with him and Charles all the time.
He pokes at
him all the time. And that's the same joke every time, but it's nonetheless.
But Shaq's also the guy that'll write back to people on Instagram. I'll meet you in the parking lot. Where are you at? It's like, what are you doing? Yeah.
Like the thing that happened with him and Dame Litter, it was like, okay, and then all of a sudden, they're going to do a collab together.
You want to know a fun fact?
What?
He started that.
Started it.
He started the whole thing.
You did that, man?
So
he did.
Dame Lillard. So I listened to Joe Budden podcast. Uh-huh. They know who Joe Budden is.
Yeah.
He has a world-renowned podcast, very popular. Dame was on there one day, and he mentioned, they asked him about being the best rapping athlete. He was like, yeah, I'm the best. And so I remember him. So I remember he said that. So the next week, I took that clip, sent it to Rob, and we sent it to Shaq. He's like, and we played it for Shaq.
We played it on the show.
And then that's when it started.
And Shaq went, excuse me?
And that's what started it.
Then they started throwing punches at each other.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, B-Dog's responsible.
That's my.
See, now you're about to start a rap battle.
I loved it. That's what I want, competition.
Yeah.
And it got personal.
Yeah, I loved every minute of it.
I'm like, dude. Why y'all letting it get personal?
Oh, know, that was great.
Because that's what rap battle is. Everybody wants to talk about, well, Dame can't say anything because Shaq has all these accolades. I said, I love the accolades that Shaq has, but it does not matter when it comes to rap. It's about who can rap better. Everything that you won don't matter. Mm-hmm. This is about taking it back to the essence of rap and hip hop.
All right, well, stop starting shit.
Well, no, I like starting fires and somebody else put them out. No, I like that.
All right, good. We'll include that in the documentary we're making.
Yeah, you arsonist.
We'll blame you for the Shaq-Kobe feud in the documentary. Look, this one asshole started
when
the whole thing.
But when it wins an award, just send me mine in the mail with my name on it spelled correctly.
Well, that's a tall order.
Correctly.
That's a tall order. Every award I've ever won has had my name spelled incorrectly on it. Never fails. All right, fortune favors the bold, the strong, and the brave. We talked about it a lot with the NBA playoffs, but if you're a business owner and you want to break out of anything that's holding you back, you need business checking as brave as you are. So we're introducing you to our friends at Novo Business Checking.
Novo is a powerful, simple business checking. And unlike the traditional banks, Novo has no minimum balances, no transaction limits, and no hidden fees. Instead of a one-size-fits-all approach, Novo is customized to your business to save you time and free up cash flow. With seamless integrations to Stripe, Shopify, QuickBooks Online, and more.
Yeah, our friends at Shopify involved with our friends at Novo. That had a kind of nice little crossover there. And listen, just because you're taking your business somewhere no one's ever gone before doesn't mean you have to go there alone, which is what Rob was talking about. Get it all customized, truly personalized business checking with Novo.
Sign up for your free business checking account right now at novo.co/bigshot. Plus, our listeners get to access over $5,000 in perks and discounts. Go to novo.co/bigshot to sign up for free. novo.co/bigshot.
Novo Platform, Inc. is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services provided by Middlesex Federal Savings F.A. Member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. Professional disclaimer. Randomly, did you see the DJ Khaled airball
thing?
No,
I'm glad I did.
No,
holy
I didn't.
Cow, it was just funny. He, for some reason, in a break, I don't know if it was like a timeout or.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
TV timeout. Dude, he just decides I'm going to run on the floor and start throwing up some shots,
yeah,
which is ridiculous anyway. And then the other side of it is he's pitching up air balls.
I've seen him shoot a couple of times. He's about as bad as that guy that runs around with the goggles and the football player who does it on purpose.
Yeah.
That's what DJ Khaled looks like when he's trying to shoot like that guy. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know his name, but he is funny. So he was actually in the All-Star game.
Was he?
Yeah, he was in the All-Star game. The guy, he used to be a football player. He wears a really tight shorts, the high socks, the goggles, and he shoots off.
Oh, you're talking about Spice Adams.
Yeah, Spice Adams. Yeah,
yeah. Spice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what DJ Khaled looks, and he's not even trying to be Spice.
Yeah, well, you know, DJ Khaled probably called a timeout because he is Mr. Miami. And thing about it is, every time he does something, whether it's shooting or dancing, the man don't wear a belt. all that money he got, I don't think he own one. Capan's always
buy
coming
a
down,
belt.
Bro.
Buy him.
Look,
belt.
Bro, I know they got belts in Miami.
Well.
Buy one.
You'd think.
He got to have drawstring.
That ain't working, dog. I shouldn't be looking at a clip on Twitter, you doing something, and I'm seeing the half moon
well,
in Miami.
So I guess the reason I brought it up is my question is, celebrities that you've run into that can actually ball pretty well, have you played with any or know any? Because like, I know, even though it's Adam Sandler can shoot.
Yeah,
I've seen
like
that.
Adam Sandler can. She'll go play pickup basketball out in California.
Does T.O. count?
Yeah.
Yeah, T.O. counts.
Oh, he's
T.O.
a hooper.
Ball?
Yeah, he can hoop.
Yes.
Can he hoop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I know he's a hell of an athlete. But
what's the guy? what's his name? The singer. He can ball pretty good. Master P could play.
Well, Master P, because we were going to bring him up.
He used to play with us in Houston all the time too. He was actually U of H. He blew his knee out. That's how he became a rapper. So.
Yeah, I think he was. But I think he was close to making a squad too, wasn't he?
Chris Brown is really good.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah,
Chris Brown can.
You know, but I know I don't want to mention this guy's name, but I'm actually mentioning he invited me to his celebrity game. R. Kelly, and R. Kelly could hoop.
Okay.
I don't know if he's hooping now, but he can hoop back then.
He gets some time to get an hour outside every day. He can play some basketball.
Yeah, he's hooping in the penal league.
Yeah. He get an hour of yard time. He'll be all right. He'll get his reps in, you know. All right.
He hooping in the federal league.
Yeah. Well, you brought up Master P. He's lobbying, I guess, in the media now. He wants to be the head coach of the Lakers.
Rob.
I lobbied the other night to be the head coach, too. So
I guess it don't mean shit.
Hey, you know what the thing about it? Everybody's going to want that job, but do you really want that job? Because if you're a competitor, you want to go in there and you want to say, hey, I want to do it my way. And the thing about this, will you be able to do it your way? You know, because you got so many guys that have, like, you have to listen to LeBron. You have to listen to AD. You have to listen to Russ. And there's so many voices you have to listen to. And I think that's going to be a hard job. Now, don't get me wrong. If they offered me, I would take it in a minute. And I would say, if I was the head coach, I'd say, yeah, bring all your ideas to me.
Gone.
Door right. I looked at him and reviewed him. No, I'm coaching this the way I want to coach it. If you don't like it, go see Jeannie Buss. And
all
so,
I got to say is if you become the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, I will be blowing your phone up because I'm flying to L.A. and I need tickets. And I'm going to have about four people with me.
I'm going to make you my head PR guy.
Don't do that. I mean, do that. But don't tell me that because then I'm going to have to really put your name in the hat to be the head coach because now you won't give me a job.
I'm giving you a job. You're going to be my head PR person.
So you've got
because I know you're going to represent the Lakers in the best light because you love them.
I do.
So I'm going to have you as my head PR guy. That's what first. You'll be my first hire.
Hey, Jeannie!
Meanwhile, my fucking ass over here running podcasts still.
I'll just start another podcast.
Hey,
you have a wife and kids. He has a dog.
I got news for his dog staying here. That fucking dog ain't going, man. That UPS dog staying here.
Like, it's easy to just... Come on, Fluffy, let's go.
What's the name of
your dog?
Milo.
Okay, come on, Milo, let's go. It's easy.
Let's rock.
No, I need peace in L.A. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll take it to my mama.
Take it to my mama's house. Take care of this pup, because no way. Ain't happening. That's funny.
Hey, man, don't say that. Now we got to get in contact with Jeannie for real. Say, hey, man.
Yeah, you know, listen. You ran into Mark Jackson, didn't you? Was it like last week?
Yes. So,
speaking of Lakers coaches.
Play-in game. Yeah. Talk to Mark. It's good to talk to him, you know, him and Tony Ressler, the owner of the Hawks, and trying to get him on the show. He said he'd love to come on.
Oh, I love
him. We get Mark on.
So here's a funny thing about Mark. I should say, if he comes on, I'll tell the story again. But I remember meeting Mark. Mark's a great guy and talking to him. I like, you know, you can come to that head coach out in Golden State. Let me come with you. All right. That's dude. You want to coach, Rob? Yeah, I'll bring you on. He got the head coaching job. Ling-a-ling-a-ling. Ling-a-ling-a-ling. Ling-a-ling-a-ling.
Please leave your message for.
He didn't pick up my call.
Dog, you let the phone ring on Mark?
I'm like, yo, Mark, what happened, man? Oh, man, I had my staff, man. I'm like, dude, you said. You know, I was just joking because I wasn't going to go to Golden State.
It was you calling him.
I thought it was him
calling you and you didn't pick up.
No, I was calling him. Yeah, so I was messing with him. I didn't want to go. There's certain cities I would love to go to, but certain cities I would want to go to, like the Bay Area. It's just so damn expensive, man.
Yeah.
I don't want to go. But now they got a new arena, I would say yes. But it's a certain place. Like, I wouldn't want to coach in Cleveland. I wouldn't want to coach in Utah. I wouldn't even want to coach here.
You played in California.
You know, I know that. But I played in Southern California, L.A.
Is it not just as expensive?
No.
I forgot. California, two states. Yeah. That's just put together.
And the reason I wouldn't want to coach here is because I got too much family in this area. I don't want to coach here because of the city. I love the city. I just don't want my family. Hey, we coming to visit. You in the playoffs. You in the championship. Yeah. Hey, we need tickets. Yeah, that's what I said. Because I would take them to the championship if I was a coach here. I'm letting you know that now.
All right. We're going to have Marco because I got to hear that. Yeah. I got it.
Somewhere Tony Ressler's tingling. He doesn't know why. Someone said they were going to take the Hawks to the championship. He got all flustered. He was like, I don't know what just happened, but ooh.
Did you?
Flush.
So So I don't know if you heard. So there is a, and I don't know if you know, but you know there's train tracks that run underneath or beside State Farm Arena. Mm-hmm. And every time the train comes through, it's long. It's like a mile long. So that was the day that, you know, Charlotte was here for the play-in. Apparently, you probably heard, the second bus for Charlotte that was holding like LaMelo Ball and other guys was late because it was caught behind the train. And I'm standing there with Mark Jackson in the arena. Mark Jackson, Tony Wrestler comes over. I said, Tony, how you doing? You know, Mr. Wrestler? He was like, I'm great. So how you doing? I said, I'm great. I want Hawks to win tonight. He was like, I want the damn train to get out the way so we can get this thing going.
Get this
how the hell
started.
A train stop? You know, the train is going through and it's slowing down and it ends up stopping. And that's why the second LaMelo and them walked in late.
That's funny.
This city, Atlanta, it never fails, man.
Oh, my goodness.
They tried to blow up the Georgia Dome. What happened? A MARTA bus pulled in front of the fucking camera. They missed the whole implosion of the Georgia Dome.
Oh, you never saw that clip?
No.
Oh, it's like one of the news channels in town trying to cover the implosion of the Georgia Dome. And they got their camera set up, and it's like 5, 4, and here comes a MARTA bus parks right in front of the camera guy's
stops.
Angle. All you see in the background is smoke. It drives away. Georgia Dome's gone. It's like, this city, man.
We can't even get an implosion right.
I guarantee he probably did that shit on purpose. He's like, you know what? Everybody on the bus, look, take a picture. Yeah. All right, let's go.
All right, let's go. All right, guys, watch it. Y'all got a good seat. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's perfect. Perfect Atlanta.
Hey, Master P, look, I love you, though, but, bro, no. I love
I don't
you.
Know.
You do your thing.
He
you know,
threw
great
Shaquille's
products.
Name out too. He's
Shaq
like, I'll bring
that.
Shaq with me, and I'm like, now you're just talking out of your ass.
Oh yeah,
Shaq ain't doing that.
He wants his freedom. He likes his freedom.
First of all, Shaq can be a coach because he take up too much damn room on the bench, man. I'm not gonna lie, man. I used to hate when he used to come off the bench. Come sit on the bench. He mad. He would spread eagle and like put his arms.
Oh yeah,
like,
he would.
Really, man? Dude, I got as much right to sit my ass over here as you, man. Get off me. So I would look at the
and he's
ropes.
All sweaty.
Get on the floor, man. I need some room.
Oh,
so
it's always interesting when I see it was the clip that like towards the end of the season when LeBron said, you know, I wasn't playing the rest of the year, and I guess he's coming from the back, and I guess Kent Bazemore is in his seat. Hey, get up. And literally Kent, I guess there was nowhere else to sit. He goes to sit on the floor. And I'm looking like, wow.
You made that man sit on the floor.
It's a tier process,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, seniority, dude. I get it.
That man literally just said, he thought he was dapping him up. Nah, get up. Uh-huh. And Kent's like, yeah, okay, cool.
All right, whatever, man.
I'm trying to stick around a little bit longer, so I'm going to do whatever you say.
Oh, no, brother, you going to. you
sorry.
Good deed. Glad you got up. Yeah. But you're going to be getting up and going somewhere else, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, don't get comfortable.
Yeah.
All right, before we get to Big Shot of the Week and a game, can we talk about your other podcast?
Sure.
All right. I wanted to bring it up on the show.
Yes.
There was an inside joke a couple weeks ago that a few people were like, did you joke that the show was getting canceled? And I was like, yeah, I did, but I didn't mean it. Just that Rob had another podcast project going on, and there was a conversation of could we do both?
Uh-huh.
And we're able to do both. So we'll continue to do this show, but you're getting to do a show with Jabari.
Yeah.
With Jabari Davis.
Yeah.
With NBA Finals File, I think is what it's called, right?
Yeah.
What are you guys doing?
It's a project with Jabari Davis, and also is with the NBA. So the NBA had to agree on to some of the clips that we're going to use. Mm. What we're going to do is we're going to do a deep dive into some of the best playoff series, NBA final series. So, you know, like Miami, San Antonio, of course, Lakers, Celtics.
Sure.
Right.
And so we're just going to deep dive and break down games and adjustments and things like that. And we're trying to have some guests on. Like last week, we did Miami Heat, San Antonio series where Ray Allen hit the big three.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have Ray Allen on that, hopefully. And then now, the next one is the Celtics, Lakers, 84. Is it 84?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this series. I'm realizing, think about this series is people don't realize that the Celtics used to get out and run just like the Lakers used to do. The Lakers averaged 125 points in that series, and the Celtics averaged 111. You got to think about this was back in the day when
it's
the 80s. This is the 80s where everybody's, oh, you used to walk the ball up. No. These guys was getting up and down the floor.
Yeah.
They didn't take a lot of threes either. I think like Michael Cooper led the league that year in threes, and he made a whopping 58. Steph
he
makes
led
that in
the
three
league.
Games. Yeah, Steph makes that in three games,
yeah.
Man. So, but it's a fun thing because it's a lot of these games you forget about, and then when you do the deep dive into, you're like, wow. You know, these guys were freaking good. These games were good. You know, 7-game series, and you know, I look back at my career and I'm like, how many 7-game series did I play in the NBA Finals? 94. Oh, in 2005. I won 7 championships. I won the game 7 twice. So
damn.
It's amazing that these teams going back to back. You win game, the next team wins. It's some battles. So it's fun, though. So hopefully everybody will listen up and follow me on that in NBA File. And I'm glad I can just do both shows, though.
How many episodes we got?
It's going to be 20 episodes.
20 episodes.
Okay, so like a limited run.
Yeah, limited run. And you know, I think the thing for us, what was exciting is that the NBA, you know, said, oh, cool, let's do this. You know, you can use these clips. Because, you know, NBA, they hold their clips, you know, close to their heart. Like, you cannot use this. So it's going to be exciting.
Are you going to dive into some of the series that you played in? I would hope so, right?
Oh, we're going to dive into like
just
one
because,
or two.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, yeah. We've talked about it before on the show. I'm always enamored by the 95 finals because of the OJ thing.
Yeah.
I mean, just the fact that you guys had to play a finals game while that was happening melts my brain.
Yeah.
Because it's like it was one of the biggest things that ever happened on national television.
Yeah. It was my mom's still mad about that 94 finals when you know she went to go watch it and they went to the OJ chase.
Oh, it was 94.
Game 3, right?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah,
and it was weird because I remember we walking in the locker room and me and Kenny was looking up at the TV and like, that's OJ's Bronco. Look, what are all the cars doing? And Rudy comes in, get focused, because we had all start gathering around the TV.
Yeah.
And back then, you had a TV, probably a 12-inch TV with the VCRs underneath because we ain't got
a little cart.
Yeah,
the technology so they can roll that it around.
Now. Yeah. So, yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. Well, check that out for sure. NBA Finals File is the name of the podcast. So good to get you out there and maybe promote this show a little bit.
Of course.
This is a lot looser than that show will be.
Oh, it's a lot looser. They already told me that you can't use certain words on that show. I'm like, fuck. That word?
Oh, that one. Okay. Well, shit.
I'm just checking. I want to make sure that's one of the words.
Let me just run them out here. You tell me what's off limits.
NBA has their name on it, so you can't use that word. Damn it.
All right, let's do a big shot of the week real quick, and then we'll get to our game. Big shot this week for me goes to Janice Jenkins, a third-grade teacher in East Orange Community Charter School in New Jersey. She had a 9-year-old student named Robert Stoniker who was trying to, and I yell at my daughter about this all the time, open a water bottle with her teeth because she doesn't have the arm strength system, so she'll get it in her teeth. Well, kiddo's trying to get the water bottle top off, pops it off, and into his throat.
No.
And she got over to him fast and Heimlich and saved his life. Popped that water, and I'm like, God bless that woman, because even in especially in a crazy situation, this is how I should react. Yeah. You don't always get there. You know, your body and your mind don't always connect that way. So
yeah, I'm wondering if she was just watching the kid like, this is not going to end up good.
She might have,
You know, and because I get mad at my Cameron and Christian. They both, when they take the water bottle off, that little ring, they take it off and start chewing on it. I'm like, dude, stop doing that.
Yep. And then, Jana does that too.
And then I find them like all over the house and the car. I said, this is why I don't want you to chew this stuff.
Do we have raccoons? Yeah. What is happening in this house?
Yeah, but I know she saved Robert's life. I know. It's great because my mom was a teacher for 20 plus years, and they have to spring into action a lot of times, but I'm glad she was able to save this little kid's life. I guarantee you, that this little kid probably 2 days later probably did the same thing.
Oh, yeah, because you never learn. As a 9-year-old, you never
learn. You never learn.
You know, you never
especially
learn.
Guys named Robert. They never learn.
They never fucking learn. Trust you, trust me. We never learn, man. We are stubborn asses.
I really don't know what's up with y'all.
Question for you be, which Robert would be caught in that situation trying to pull a cap off like that?
Oh, my God.
It'd probably be generous.
Yeah, exactly. It's probably me.
It'd be generous.
I'm an idiot. I mean, I'll be the first one to put my hand up. I'm an idiot. I never learn. So just a big shout out to her for the big shout of the week for Janice Jenkins. You did a good thing there.
So I know Janice Jenkins, what nationality was she?
That's a sister.
It has to be.
Yeah. I wonder.
Saw her on the news, so it's kind of a loaded question, but yes. Yeah.
That's your sister?
Yeah.
I just want to know because that sounds like a Southern name.
Yeah.
Because my aunt name was Jessie Jenkins. And so I'm like,
okay.
Janice Jenkins. And she was a teacher too.
Yeah. So. If it was a white lady, it would be Janice. It wouldn't be Janice. Janice. All right. Well, look, you said earlier. You like your grits. You're here in the South. How do we not play this game?
Walmart or Waffle House?
While we're in the dirty South. I've got 7 stories for you. You just have to tell me, did it happen in a Walmart or did it happen in a Waffle House? Very simple. All right, story number 1. Police were called to this location after witnesses reported a full-on fistfight happening inside of a family's car. The older son from the back seat wailing on his father while the mother tried to break it up. So the cops got there, separated everybody. Did the full-on family fist fight happen outside of a Walmart or a Waffle House?
I'll be honest, it probably happened outside of both.
Real talk.
Hey, but I'm going to go with the Waffle House because the kid's like, I don't want no damn Waffle House. I want IHOP.
Why are we doing the broke people IHOP? Yeah.
So damn, I'm going to go Waffle House.
I'm going to go to country. I'm going to go Walmart.
Oh, Walmart. All right. Well, the point here is going to go to B-Dog Brandon Harper outside of a Walmart.
And that's strictly a guess.
Always.
I want to go to Foot Locker, not no damn Walmart.
They don't sell Nikes here. They sell Nikes at Walmart. All right. Story number two. A manager of this location almost had to call the police when two homeless men started to battle in the parking lot. Dance battle.
Oh, no.
They were out there begging for money, and one patron challenged them to have a dance battle for tips, and thankfully the manager broke it up peacefully. So two homeless guys in a dance battle outside of a Walmart or a Waffle House.
You know what's weird? I've never seen a homeless person outside of a Walmart. But I've seen them outside of a Waffle House. So I'm going to have to go with a Waffle House on
okay.
this one.
I'm trying to see if I've ever seen a homeless person outside of a Walmart. And if they were, I didn't know they were homeless. I'm going to go Waffle House as well.
Okay. Well, you're both going to get a point outside of a Waffle House. Very good. Yeah. Very, very good. Usually, too, because they're out there looking for food mm-hmm. and who's got leftovers that they want to share. And I get that. You know, right. that makes some sense. So, all right. 2-1 B-Dog. Story number three. One of the grossest stories we've ever had on this game. An employee of this location was fired on the spot after several customers complained that she continued to stick her hand on the back of her pants, pick her wedgie, and then return to work without washing her hands.
Oh, I think I can. Ooh.
So, hand in the back of your pants, working on a wedgie, gets you fired from a Walmart or a Waffle House.
I'm gonna let you go first on this one.
I got a feeling that like this is one of these setup type of things.
Oh.
Because Rob likes to do this.
Is he doing it right
now? Blame the white guy. Yeah, I get it. That's fine.
I'm going to go Waffle House.
Okay.
Because I also think that's probably one of the locations where the food is good. Because, you know, I always say if you don't see somebody smoking outside of the Waffle House or some person don't look a certain way, that the food ain't good.
That's a southern rule if I ever heard one, too. Uglier the staff, better the food. Right. Yeah.
You know, I want to say Waffle House so bad, but I can't say because there's not enough room in Waffle Houses to scratch your ass. You know, she ain't got enough time to scratch her ass. So I'm probably wrong on this one, but my gut is telling me to go to Walmart because she's at the, you know, because Walmart sells those with hot dogs and everything there. So
everything.
I'm going to go with Walmart on this one.
Okay. Tie game. It was a Walmart. Yep.
The reason why I said Waffle House is because she do got time when she's smoking. So when she's done smoking that cigarette and she got that in, she can scratch that one time and then go on back.
But, you know, Waffle House is as big as this room, man. So
at least. And man, if you got your hand in your pants in a Waffle House, that's a bad look. That's a quick firing.
First of all, people gonna be like, man, I don't want this shit.
Food starts coming back. You're like, what happened?
My waffle tastes like this.
They gonna actually. They're gonna throw the plate at the lady. You put your hand in your butt crack and you want me to eat this? No.
No, not happening. But I'll have some more hash browns. Thank you. All right. Police were called to this location in story number four after a customer tried to pay with the most pathetic attempt of a forged bill ever. A scanned $100 bill printed on two pieces of paper and stapled together.
Oh, no.
Did this guy try to pay for his products, services, whatever you will, at a Walmart or a Waffle House?
He definitely tried to pay for his waffles for that.
Oh, everybody's going waffles?
Waffle House. Yeah.
And everybody's wrong. It's a Walmart. You got to remember, people at Walmart pull out all the stops.
Hey, yeah, I think the best thing, though, is when they always show those people who shopping in Walmart and they have different clips. I'm like, what were you thinking when you left the house? You don't have a best friend to tell you no? Or son, daughter, mother, father? Husband,
something,
wife.
Something, a mirror.
Exactly.
I can tell you, like, this is
mirror,
a bad
mirror
idea.
On the wall. Should I wear this? today. Hell no.
No. Well, where are you going? Walmart? You're fine. You're fine. Yeah. Honestly, half the stories in this game come from the People of Walmart website because people are crazy. Mm-hmm. All right. In perfect Southern fashion in story number five, a man wearing coveralls, a ski mask, tried to rob this location in Norcross, Georgia with a pitchfork. He got away. He was not captured. But did the man with a ski mask and a pitchfork try to rob a Walmart or a Waffle House?
Walmart.
I got to go to a Waffle House because people going to be looking at him when he comes into Walmart like, okay, we've seen a lot of
carrying a pitchfork. Yeah.
And so, and plus, you know, I think if he got away, it definitely was a Waffle House.
That makes sense.
Okay. 3-2 Robert Ory. That's a Waffle House. Yeah, it's a Waffle House, man. All right, story number six. Police were called to this location after a woman asked an employee to watch her baby as she went to get something out of the car. She then got into her car and drove off. When the police arrived, they found out the baby was a doll.
Oh, that's a Waffle House.
Was that a Walmart or a Waffle House?
Dang, I need to stop being so quick to answer. Police come.
Left the baby. Can you watch my baby? That gets sound, in the car, bolts.
That sound real Waffle House.
That sound really Walmart to me because that's some backwoods country shit where a person ain't got good sense. So, you know what? I'm going to go shopping. And I guarantee she had flip-flops on and the back of her feet were all black like dirt. She was in a Walmart.
I got news for you. Flip-flops and black feet don't mean Walmart or Waffle House because you see them in both locations. Tie game happened at a Waffle House.
It was just something about that that just screamed real bacon and egg-ish.
See, that just seemed like, oh, you know how you have the greeters at Walmart, and the greeter probably, oh, yeah, baby, I'll hold you, baby. Yeah. You give the baby, and you go out to the car, boom, you take off. That's just.
Well, the fact that this had to be a prank. There's no way this was a legitimate. Like, this woman's like, I'm going to see how long they'll sit there and watch this baby doll. And they called the cops because you abandoned a child, but it turned out to be a doll.
I guarantee you someone was in there filming that shit.
Oh, for them. 100%.
It was a setup. Yeah.
100%. All right, last story in a tie game. A clearly intoxicated older woman at this location asked a young man working if he would pull down his pants and let her smack his ass for the whopping tip of $1.
You gotta be kidding me, dog.
So let's see. The man who, older woman, drunk, pulls... Sonny, can you pull your pants down so I can smack your rear end for $1?
Is that a greeter or a hostess? Is it a greeter at Walmart?
Well,
is a hostess at...
So, because you're a guest, you go first, my brother.
Waffle House, man. Because nobody tips at Walmart, so I'm going to have to go with the educational guest
here. Well, okay. And she offered him a dollar tip. Yeah. Didn't mean that was...
I'm going to say it was a Walmart. Because think about it. Where are you most drunk at?
Point taken.
Waffle House.
So, you're saying Waffle House. All right. So, B, you want to go...
Oh, man, yeah.
You want to go Walmart?
I'm going to agree with you.
You're going to
agree. Because I've seen plenty
of
drunk people at Waffle House, and I can see this happening.
Who in this room hasn't been drunk in Waffle House?
Yeah, most of my drunken nights out have either been a Denny's or a Waffle House.
Exactly.
One of the two. Yeah,
I'm going to say Waffle House.
Moons
okay.
Over Miami.
Well, we're going to end in a tie. You're both wrong. Happened at a Walmart.
Right.
At a Walmart. Tip the young man $1 and shake his ass. So.
Shake that ass.
Let me see what you got. Shake that ass. All of a sudden, we're a Rick and Morty episode.
Follow the show on Twitter at Big Shot Bob Pod for links to all our guests and all sorts of fun. The Big Shot Bob Pod is a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One and Podcast One Sportsnet.
Stream the biggest movies and TV shows for free on Pluto TV. Watch movies like Titanic and G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra, plus TV shows like CSI and Star Trek The Next Generation. Starting this month, check out the 24/7 Stargate channel exclusively on Pluto TV, plus hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows absolutely free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start watching today.
What's going on, guys? It's your homeboy T-Pain, a.k.a. your girlfriend's boyfriend. Have you had a chance to listen to the new podcast? Now, I want you to stop what you're doing right now and jump over to my new show, the Nappy Boy Radio Podcast, with me, T-Pain. Every week, we're talking to the hottest guests from the worlds of music, entertainment, comedy, gaming, and so much more. And they're all stopping by to shoot the show. They hang out, they enjoy some custom drinks. Did you know every guest on my show has a drink named after them?
This is the Mild Paralysis.
Yeah. And the name of the drink is the Jazzy Fizzle.
Oh, yeah. You're gonna make me cry.
pick for you, and it's called the mother
butterscotch.
No, you gotta say it like this, butterscotch.
Listen, on my show, we pretty much have some of the most interesting conversations you ever heard. We just kind of chill, you know what I'm saying? Listen and subscribe to the Nappy Boy Radio Podcast with new episodes every Thursday on Apple Music and wherever you get your podcasts at.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.